You're listening to Yale Radio WYBC. This is Brainerd Carey with the lives of the artists, architects, curators, and more.
Today on our show, I'm talking with Fran Shalom. She's talking to me from Jersey City. Fran, thanks so much for being with me today.
Thanks for having me, Brainerd. It's just really a nice opportunity, and I love what you're doing with this kind of archive that you're collecting. So it's great.
Thanks so much. Yeah, I appreciate that. I know it does seem to keep growing, and it's become its own kind of animal. You know, the more it grows or something. I said Jersey City, but of course not everybody knows where Jersey City is. It's kind of a special place. You're looking at, you're just across the Hudson River on the lower west side of Manhattan, right? Looking at Manhattan.
Exactly, right. I basically am right across from the financial center, the World Trade Center and Lower Manhattan. And I've been here for around 7 or 8 years and really love it. It's one subway stop to Manhattan, or I could take the ferry, which is a couple blocks from here. So it's a growing city. It's people are just starting to discover it, and it's great.
Right, it's really kind of a community almost. It's an unusual place, and there's a lot of artist studios there, I imagine too, with Mana and other things in the area. Is there an artist community there? How has that been in the pandemic?
I think it's a growing community. I generally spend most of my time, my studio is in Jersey City. It's around a 10-minute drive from my apartment, which is great. And it's a converted industrial building that just started to have artists rent studio spaces around a year ago. And then there is Mana, which is further down, a little bit further out. That's been established there for a number of years. So I think, people are moving to Jersey City. I think the rents are much more affordable than Manhattan and even Brooklyn. There is a growing art community. But not as many galleries, obviously. And so I spend a lot of time going over into New York, and most of my friends are there.
And of course, we're talking still in a kind of peak-ish of a pandemic, I guess, in the end of February 2021. Has Jersey City fared differently than New York? Was it different out there during the pandemic or now? No,
it's been kind of a strange and crazy historical, political year for all of us. I think it's... for me, on a personal level, it's been both. I have two parents still alive at age 93, who are living in different places, and each of them at different times this year came down with pneumonia, not COVID, and that was really hard. And then my brother, who was 60, very unexpectedly passed away in August of a heart attack. So in the midst of all this, it was just really, really, really a hard year for me, and then COVID, and then, the politics. But on the other hand, I was able to go to my studio, and like for a lot of artists who are able to, it's kind of been a refuge, and a huge pleasure. And kind of made all the difference this year.
Yeah, let's talk about that, because, I'm glad you said that. Thanks for saying that. Of course, so in the context of like all of this struggle, right, collectively as a difficult year, but also personally for you as a difficult year. How did the artwork dialogue with that at all? You say it's a refuge. Your work isn't about, suffering or struggle, it seems to me, on the surface. There's something much more, something incredibly... up about it in a way, and so how does the and just correct me if I'm wrong, but how did the studio impact that type of content of your work? In the context of 2020,
right? Well, maybe I think it was kind of a way to you know, my work is not obviously political or narrative particularly. It's and it is very much, there's a lot of humor or kind of whimsical quality to it, and that I don't, you know, that kind of just comes out in the way I make my shapes or the forms that I make. And I think it was, it's kind of really was a refuge where I can go into my studio, close the door, either listen to music or podcasts, and just really get involved with the work. My work is very, it's abstract, but it's, there's a figurative element in that they often have a head, you know, have a head kind of influence, and they become kind of, I think of them as like ambiguous characters, and so they sit on my studio wall, and I don't know, I find a lot of comfort from them, and there's just a continuing kind of dialogue, you know, both in kind of a painting way of kind of where I'm going to go with this one, or where I'm going to take, you know, this particular shape and how to move it. And I guess it was just a way to get incredibly, and maybe in a bigger way than normal, of just putting what was going outside the studio aside for a while, you know.
Right. It's interesting that you spoke of all of these also as kind of characters, right? You see them all as characters. I kind of, you know, to me that means like people almost, right? And just correct me if I'm wrong there, but it, so I can see all these paintings around you in your studio, and they are not figurative, but when you mean characters, if that was the word you just used, do you mean kind of like entities that can almost talk, that have their own personality? Am I being too kind of anthropomorphizing here?
To a certain extent. I mean, I don't think of them as people per se, but more just as these energized kind of these shapes that have a life to me, you know, because of the color, because of I often will put in, you know, something that might resemble a mouth shape or an ear shape. And so, you know, so I don't think of them as, you know, as literally as people, but they're very present and very much like characters that kind of have a life because of their, they have a certain dynamic quality for me. And so, and obviously that I made them, and so there's a strong connection and relationship there, you know.
Right. So let's talk about how those have changed over the last year. You know, if they have, let's say in 2020 to 2021, has the palette changed, or has there been a difference of approach? I mean, we could talk about content if you want, has there been a different approach or?
Yeah. Well, content. Yeah, so I'm preparing for a show in September, a solo show at Catherine Markell Gallery. So I've been working towards that, and there has been a bit of a shift. I mean, I move my work kind of slowly. I don't know if it moves forward or if it just kind of laterally moves or horizontally maybe. But usually I work very, very flat. The color is very flat, even though a lot of paintings underneath the painting that the finished painting. But this year I've been trying to put a little bit more kind of visual brushwork, I mean visible brushwork, just to have a little more varied surface than I might have before.
So some of that's hard to see on online, of course, right? Like I've seen your images on your website from this year. You're talking about the surface up close where there's a kind of erasure of layers underneath, right, that you'd only see by a kind of difference in height or so. Yeah, so that doesn't really photograph that well, or the brushwork, really, right?
Well, the brushwork probably would in some regard. I'm not sure if I have all my latest work on my website, maybe some. But, yeah, I mean, when you go up close, you see a lot of line from the painting underneath it. Sometimes I sand it down, but often I will leave some evidence. But, yeah, I'm trying to, whereas often I will use tools that, where there's no brush, you know, I might use a squeegee or something. I'm using more, you know, bigger brushes to kind of have more of a gestural a sense of the hand, you know, with the paint.
Right.
Yeah, to kind of balance.
And in terms of the content, in terms of like what's happening in these, I mean, I know they're abstract and often geometric, but is there a direction in terms of content? The ones that I do see of yours have a sense of humor that I've seen, have a certain, you know, almost figurative sense sometimes. Is the content changing, or is that not something you think about directly?
You know, I don't think about the content a lot. I let that, you know, kind of, I mean, the content is really the shaped image that appears through, you know, through the process of putting down a shape and then changing it and adding another shape to it or enlarging it. It's a process for me of addition and subtraction all the time. I like edges a lot, so the shape, even though it's very kind of elemental in a certain way, it takes a lot of work to get to a shape that feels kind of right. And I often try to put things in or on it, or, you know, and I often have to either hold myself back because I tend to eliminate those things and just subtract them. You know, I tend towards a minimal finished painting, but sometimes I try to work against that. But I don't start with, you know, a concept or an idea in mind. I prefer to just approach each one kind of with an openness and just kind of be present for that. And yet there's obviously, over the years, there is a thread of you know, my work that comes through them all. At least I hope so.
Yeah, there is. So there is no preparatory drawing or a specific idea. You're working directly on the canvas, and it kind of evolves that way.
Yeah, I really love that. I love the ability to start anew each time, and it usually works so that, you know, I'll start a painting and it'll change, and then I'll get frustrated. Oh, this is not going to work. And then I know now that if I just go with that another couple of weeks, it'll start to all of a sudden start to come together, and it eventually, you know, works itself out, and I get to a place where I'm really happy with it. So
that'll be the next show that's coming up. Let's talk about what's in that show. How many pieces? What size is there? I mean, unless that's too soon to talk about. Yeah.
Well, it's too soon to say how many. Although it's this year also I've been working a lot in one particular size, which is 24 by 24. I just feel very comfortable with that size. I've done a few bigger ones, mostly squares, and I've worked with 36 by 36. And, you know, I used to be many, many, many years ago, I used to be a photographer. And when I was, I worked with a 2.5 by 2.5 square format camera. And so there's something about that format that really I'm very comfortable with. And I like how the shape kind of is held by, you know, a square. You know, it's not landscape, it's not portrait. Even though they're portrait-like, they get kind of more object-like when they're in a square format. And so it seems to work well with me. So I don't know how many I'll have, but I certainly have quite a bit of work that I've done this year, so I have a lot already to choose from, but it's not till September, so you know.
Well, that's exciting because that's your first show in a while, right? This is a kind of post-pandemic, hopefully, show.
It is new, and I was in a 3-person show in October during the pandemic. It was curated by David Cohn, and it was very interesting because it was in a gallery in a residential building in Brooklyn, and because it was residential, they didn't allow many visitors at all, and of course there was no opening. So it was very, very strange, you know. So I'm hoping that come September, I'm getting my second shot on Friday. I'm hoping by September maybe we can have openings again. I don't know. You know, and what will that look like? I don't know.
Yeah, that's true. Even if they are happening, what will they look like is unclear. It seems that so much has, it's unclear. Because what it is, it's unclear.
Yeah.
So many things will remain in terms of, like, virtual options, it seems, to see so many things.
Yes.
Well, congratulations on that show coming up. I hope it is, easy to attend. And I want to ask you one more thing before we go. What are you reading at the moment? I'm always curious what everyone's reading.
Sure. So I am reading a book, and maybe you've read it. It's called A Shoe Story, Van Gogh and the Philosophers and the West. It's by a woman named Leslie Chamberlain. And it's a really fascinating story about what was going on in Germany in the 30s and about an essay that Heidegger wrote called The Origins of a Work of Art. And when he talks about Van Gogh's painting of these pair of boots called Boots with Laces. And so she talks about his essay about that and then about Germany after the war and during the war. And then she talks about in 1977, there was a Columbia University, there was a big conversation, there was a conference, or an evening actually, between Jacques Derrida and Meyer Shapiro, where Meyer Shapiro gave a kind of his own take on Boots with Laces and being very critical of Heidegger's take on it. And then Derrida came back, and who was kind of a Heidegger, he considered was one of his mentors, was very critical of Shapiro. Anyway, it was a very supposedly very heated and kind of a memorable evening. And so this is what this book is about. It covers a lot of territory, but it's very, very stimulating.
Thanks so much. I'm glad you shared that. That does sound fascinating. Fran, I want to thank you so much for talking with me today. I really appreciate your time, and good luck with your upcoming show.
Well, thanks so much, Brainerd. I really, really appreciate this. It's been a pleasure.
You're listening to Yale Radio WYBC. This is Brainerd Carey with the lives of the artists, architects, curators, and more.